Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're going to be talking about the book called Angry White Men. And usually this is where I explain the premise with the author is Michael Kimmel and what he's trying to get at and his point of view. But right now what I'm going to do now is I'm going to let comedian Louis C.K. do it. Here's part of a routine that he did about how great it is to be a white guy. I edited out the words that you can't use on the radio, but you still get it.
I'm a very, lucky guy. I got a lot going for me. I'm healthy. I'm relatively young. I'm white, which thank God for that. Boy, that is a huge leg up. Are you kidding me? Oh, God, I love being white. I really do. Seriously, if you're not white, you're missing out because this is thoroughly good. But let me be clear, by the way. I'm not saying that white people are better. I'm saying that being white is clearly better. Who could even argue? If it was an option, I would re-up every year. Oh, yeah, I'll take white again. Absolutely. I've been enjoying that. I'm going to stick with white. Thank you. Here's how great it is to be white. I could get in a time machine and go to any time, and it would be awesome when I get there. That is exclusively a white privilege. Black people can't with time machines. A black guy in a time machine is like, hey, anything before 1980? No, thank you. I don't want to go. But I can go to any time. The year 2? I don't even know what was happening then. But I know when I get there, welcome. We have a table right here for you, sir. Thank you. Oh, it's lovely here in the year 2. I can go to any time. In the past. I don't want to go to the future and find out what happens to white people because... we're going to pay hard for this. You got to know that. We're not going to just fall from number 1 to 2. They're going to hold us down in forever. And we totally deserve it. But for now, whee! Now, if you're white and you don't admit that it's great, you're an asshole. It is great. And I'm a man. How many advantages could one person have? I'm a white man. You can't even hurt my feelings. What can you really call a white man that really digs deep? Hey, cracker.
Ugh, ruined my day. Boy, shouldn't have called me a cracker. Bringing me back to owning land and people. What a drag.
That is comedian Louis C.K. That bit sets up our guest, Michael Kimmel. He's the author of the book, Angry White Men. And Mr. Kimmel, welcome to The Source.
Thanks, David. I wish I could have had that link live in the book so that you, as you're reading it, you could just touch on a page and it would come up.
Yeah, you make reference to in the book, and I figured let's get that clip and put it on the air.
Great.
Our phone number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So let's dig in here. Angry White Men. So why is this title not offensive? Why is this title not in itself a racial, pejorative?
Well, I mean, as Louis C.K. points out, how many advantages could one person have? To be a white man in America is to be among the luckiest people on the face of the earth. I mean, there are very few people in the world that aren't hereditary aristocracy who have it as good as white men in America do. On the other hand, that doesn't mean that that white men are happy with their situation. In fact, there's a large number of men, and I talk about several different groups in the book, there's a large number of men who don't feel very happy at all about what's happening to them. They feel that affirmative action is reverse discrimination against white men. They feel that the courts are completely arrayed against them as divorcing fathers. They feel that women get all the advantages, that people of color get all the advantages, and that they are the forgotten victims. And so what I really wanted to get to was that. And the reason that the book is coming out now, of course, being released on Election Day, which is a day when you'll hear a lot of angry white men talk about the fact, and you heard it in the last presidential election, that suddenly guys are saying, we need to take our country back. We've lost our country. And you want to say to them, like, where did you get that idea? It was your country. So that is part of why I think so many guys are angry, because we were raised to think it was ours, and it feels like it's being taken away from us.
So you're not a political writer, you're a sociologist.
Correct. Correct. I'm a sociologist. So what I basically did was I looked at about five or six different moments, five or six expressions of what I call angry white masculinity. Men who felt entitled to have certain positions that they don't have and that are angry about that and laughing out at it. And so I look at some of the rhetoric, for example, on the extreme right. I interviewed some white supremacists and neo-Nazis, and I look at the extreme right wing in American politics. I look at men who, the men's rights movement, father rights movement. I look at angry white boys. That is to say, I do some work on the school rampage school shooters. It is, of course, interesting that in all of those cases of mass murders where guys walk into, you know, the movie theater or walk into their school and open fire, it's almost always white boys. So we want to talk about that as well. And then I talk about guys who, like Joe Stark, who flew his plane into the IRS building in Austin, and then also about guys who murder their ex-wives or wives or beat women up and beat up the women that they say that they love. So those are groups that I consider angry white men.
Well, there's this concept of white privilege. And but to draw attention to it and to say that the white people have had this level of privilege for so many years and now there's a reaction to it. And are you saying that that's what's kind of fueling the Tea Party?
Partly. I think that I think you're raising an interesting point about the Tea Party, because the Tea Party is two moments of that kind of right-wing politics. One moment is the populist emotion, the expression of dissatisfaction with the government, the direction the government's going. The other is a very cynical manipulation of that emotion by very cynical elites who are interested in manipulating that that passion and that sense of frustration into a political movement. And so that's what's, I think, fueling it as well. So it's both. But yes, of course. I mean, isn't the motto of the Tea Party, let's take our country back? And you want to say, again, what do you mean our? Charles Blow, a columnist for the New York Times, who wrote about this, he says, you know, you want to take your country back, but sorry, you can't have it.
And some say they want to take their country back 100 years. We're going to continue this conversation. We're talking with Michael Kimmel. He's the author of American Masculinity at the End of an Era, Angry White Men. And we're going to dig in a little deeper here and challenge him on some of his concepts. I'm not too crazy about everything he's got to say in this book. And I think I want to hear from our listeners, and you need to join this conversation also. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. How do you like being called an angry white man? Is that what you think is an accurate portrayal of your political point of view? The number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're speaking with Michael Kimmel. He's the author of the new book, Angry White Men. It's a sociological look at a movement in the United States now. So let me ask you, Mr. Kimmel, when you say angry white men, it's kind of like you're writing off people. I mean, their anger is legitimate. They're angry. They really feel something, maybe it's misdirected anger, but they definitely are angry. But sometimes when you call people angry white men, you're saying that they're racist and that they're mad because they feel like we have an African American in the White House. They don't like Barack Obama because of the color of his skin. And I think that's just too easy. And I think it's more complex than that.
I couldn't agree more. That's not what I say at all. First of all, let me be very clear that when I say that I'm writing about angry white men, I'm not saying that all white men are angry. not by a long shot. But I am saying that a lot of the white men who are angry, what we need to also look at is not necessarily their race, but also their gender. That is to say, they feel angry because they feel that they have been denied something that they thought was rightfully theirs. Let me give you an example of this, David, that I think will illustrate this. I was on a TV talk show not long ago, opposite four angry white men. These were men who thought they were qualified for jobs and qualified for promotions, and they didn't get them, and they were really angry about that. And the title of the particular show that I was on was "A Black Woman Stole My Job." So when it was my turn to respond to these guys who all thought that it was, you know, that they were the victims, when it was my turn, I said, "I just have one question about the title of this show, A Black Woman Stole My Job. Actually, it's a question about one word in the title. I want to know about the word my. Why isn't the show called A Black Woman Got the Job or A Black Woman Got a Job?" That's the issue. These men's sense of entitlement, that those were our jobs and someone else took them, stole them. It was illegitimate. And that's the thing that makes these white men angry, is that they feel, you know, when you and I were growing up, it's probable that white men occupied, you know, 95% of all the positions of power in the world. Now we only occupy 85%, and we think, oh, my God, it's reverse discrimination against us. The playing field has been completely tilted. I'm saying we grew up running downhill with the wind at our backs. And now if it's going to flatten out and we actually have to play fair, it doesn't feel fair to a lot of people. Now, it's not to say that all white men feel angry. They don't. Most white men, in fact, are just doing just fine. But a large number of men are mobilizing their anger as men and as white men. And that's what I want to talk about.
All right, we're going to go to the phones, and our phone number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Let's get Elsa on the line. Elsa, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I haven't read the book, but it sounds interesting. I think I'm going to try and find it. But I've, you know, been attending a few conferences and heard over the past few years about the changing demographic in the U.S., how the majority is going to no longer be the majority. Now it'll be a blend of mainly Hispanics and other groups that will make up the majority. And I think the book topic, if I'm understanding correctly, is really a great thing to kind of be a door opener for the conversation of how is the majority, the current majority, accepting these changes, and how can we transition our country more smoothly so that those racial tensions don't continue and so that, you know, we can make that change, because it's happening. It's going to happen. The majority is changing. We've seen it occurring, and within the next few years it's going to happen where, you know, it's no longer the white majority. And what can we do as a society to make it as smooth so that we can work together and there isn't that racial tension, you know, at least try and lower it as much as possible.
Okay, Elsa, thank you so much for that phone call. We'll get our guest, Michael Kimmel, to answer that. Michael?
Well, I think it's a very, very good question. First of all, white men in America have never been the majority. We have been the majority of voters only when we excluded women from voting. But we have never been the majority, and we're not now the majority. But what we need to do now, and I think this is really the key, we are in the United States today more racially equal than we have ever been in our history. We are more gender equal than we've ever been in our history. We are more sexually equal than we have ever been in our history. And yet, we are also more class unequal than at any other time since the Gilded Age. Now, it seems to me that what we need to do is we need to be moving forward, embracing and understanding that we are more equal. We're not going to go backwards. As the caller says, we're not moving backwards. So I think we have to learn how to accommodate ourselves to a world of much greater equality across racial, sexual, and gender lines.
Now, when these angry white men, you know, most people in the United States, except for the very few, the very far fringe radicals, they want everyone to succeed. They don't mind a African-American male, female, getting a great job and doing well having a great career. That is everyone loves that. But what they want is they say everyone should do it on their own steam, and we shouldn't have to have things like affirmative action to try and give one person an advantage over the other. But what they don't realize when you're a white man in America, that you have a number of advantages, particularly maybe you went to a great school because you were able to grow up in a great neighborhood, or you had other things that, Ann Richards said, he was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. So does that make sense?
And that absolutely makes sense. Now, as you say, most of us believe completely in a meritocracy. And most of us passionately want to believe that the place we ended up is because of our hard work and dedication, our own merit. And it's very uncomfortable to find out that, if you have to have gone to an Ivy League school to have gotten this great job, for example, nearly 100% of the presidents have gone to Ivy League schools, those who went to college. So if the Ivy League schools are only open to males, right, and only open to white males, you get a bit of a leg up, don't you? So we are living, and that's what I'm saying, that we're living in a much more equal world now. That's not to say that there's not plenty of room for improvement. So I completely agree with you. I think that the direction that we're moving, as your caller says, is toward a greater meritocracy in which nobody, including straight white men, get an advantage for simply being who they are. But everybody competes on a more level playing field. That is the promise of America. So the angry white men I profile in this book are actually looking backward nostalgically to an era where they got all the breaks and nobody else did, and they thought that was a level playing field.
All right, another caller to get on the air, Bill. Bill, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing this afternoon?
Doing good, sir. Go right ahead.
Hey, well, I'm a 54-year-old white guy from Port Arthur. And that's where I grew up in Southeast Texas. And back in the 60s, race relations were not near what they are today. And I keep up with a lot of my contemporaries on Facebook and stuff like that. And a lot of them are really rabidly conservative, which we're kind of middle of the roaders. But, a lot of guys who, when we were younger, were vocally racist and who aren't anymore, they've taken the same, we're not going to bash blacks or Mexicans anymore, but boy, we're going to bash in liberals. It's incredible. I see the same disparaging remarks that I used to hear when I was younger, growing up in East Texas. And it's like liberals have become the target for all of that distaste. And it's just odd.
Okay, Bill, thanks for that comment. Thanks for calling in, and we'll see what our author, Michael Kimmel, has to say about that.
Well, what's liberals' great crime? Liberals' great crime is that they want to use the government for the great social engineering experiment. And what that basically means is that that the natural order of things, that is to say the ones that you were growing up with in Port Arthur, the natural order of things has been subverted through this social engineering model. And all that I would say to that is that the old model was also social engineering. It was a similar kind of social engineering. We're not going to let any of them in. They can't go to our schools. They can't live in our neighborhoods. They can't work in our companies. And then we said that was fair. Now the great social engineering experiment that the liberals wanted to say, no, actually that wasn't fair. Let's make it fair. So of course that's going to make people who benefited from those things. And let me be really clear. Many of your friends probably growing up with you in Port Arthur, they're not multimillionaires. They're not dot-com entrepreneurs. They're basically working guys who feel like they've gotten screwed, that they've been betrayed.
Right, because because right now everyone is working harder than we've ever worked before, and we're getting less for our work. And people
that's
are,
right.
And
that
people
exactly
are they're
right.
angry about that, and it's misdirected anger.
You bet that we're angry about that. And if you think that the reason that you're getting paid less and working harder is because of gays in the military, then what we need to do is have an analysis of who it is that's causing you to make less and less and work harder and harder.
It's not that. It's people want to make sure that nobody is getting something for nothing.
Right.
They want to make sure everyone is doing their best and working hard.
Right. That's right. Absolutely right.
And then if I work hard and I play by the rules, I won't be hosed at the end of the day. But instead, my pension's being ripped out from under me. Healthcare, I don't know what's going on. It's just people really are
That's
angry.
Right. You bet. You bet. And when you say that, that is what people should be angry about, that they work their whole lives, and then on the day of their retirement, they find out that their pension just disappeared.
Right, and that wasn't gays in the military. That was some corporate raider who took care of that.
That should make you furious. It would make me furious. I'm not saying we shouldn't be angry. I am saying we should be angry at the right in the right ways at the right people.
At the right people, Michael.
It's not those. Oh,
Michael, we're out of time. I thank you so much. The name of the book is Angry White Men. Michael Kimmel is the author, and thank you for joining us on The Source, Michael.
My pleasure.
And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.